Welcome to the GIST edition of Rare Disease Advisor's Rare Care Podcast, offering unique perspectives from researchers, clinicians, and influencers from the gastrointestinal stromal tumor community.
Hello, this is Larry Luxner, Senior Correspondent for Rare Disease Advisor. Our guest today is Dr. Jason Siklik, a professor of surgery and pharmacology at the University of California San Diego School of Medicine in La Jolla. Dr. Siklik is also leader of the sarcoma disease team at Moores Cancer Center and an expert on sarcomas, including gastrointestinal stromal tumor, also known as GIST. Among other things, in 2016, Dr. Siklik was named the GIST Clinician of the Year by the LifeRaft Group, the largest GIST patient advocacy group in the world. 2 years later, he received the Rare Champion of Hope in Medical Care and Treatment Award from Global Genes. He obtained his medical degree from the UCLA School of Medicine, completed his general surgery residency at Johns Hopkins, and completed a fellowship in surgical oncology at Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center in New York. Dr. Siklik, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Sure. So July 13th, just a week from today, is GIST Awareness Day. How did this day come about and why is it significant?
So maybe just I'll give you a little bit of background about GIST and then how this day came about. GIST, or gastrointestinal stromal tumor, is a rare type of cancer. It falls under the category of sarcomas, which are tumors of nerves, muscle, fat, bone, or cartilage. These tumors are believed to arise from cells within our intestines that are sort of nerve-like cells that control the peristalsis or the movement of our intestines. And therefore, these tumors can occur anywhere throughout our GI tract, from the stomach all the way down to the end of the colon and the rectum. But most commonly, we see them in the stomach. They're a rare disease. The incidence isn't quite exactly, I would say, truly known per se, but when we look in the literature, it's believed to be somewhere between about 7 to 20 cases per million people around the world, depending upon which study you're talking about. You know, so doing the math, that's roughly in the United States, for instance, that's roughly about 6,000 new patients per year diagnosed with GIST in the U.S. The month of July is Sarcoma Awareness Month. And given that July is Sarcoma Awareness Month, a spotlight was made to try to put, you know, attention also to GIST, which is the most common of the different types of sarcomas, of which there's probably something on the order of 60 or 70 types of different sarcomas that we know about. And those, that list is becoming longer and longer as we sort of subdivide up certain diseases more and more with time as we understand more about the biology of these tumors. And so with that, July 13th was designated as GIST Awareness Day. And so that's now just a week from now. And really, this is meant to just shed light on this disease that is, you know, the most common sarcoma, and frankly, probably underappreciated in terms of its incidence. You know, we think that there's only 6,000 cases per year in the United States, but the reality is, these tumors are probably more common than we appreciate. And the reason I say that is there's been studies out of Europe looking at people over 50. And in these studies of autopsies, what they actually found was about one in every six patients had a very tiny microscopic size GIST in their stomach. So a lot of these don't go on to become large tumors that can spread and cause problems. But that being said, probably a larger percentage of the population, you know, the older population over 50, probably has very small microscopic tumors.
These were autopsies done on what kinds of patients?
These were autopsies on people that were over the age of 50 that had passed away from any cause in that study. So they were incidentally found to have these tumors in their stomach, which basically suggests that even these little tiny, they're almost like little tiny polyps, if you will, in the wall of our stomach that are just underappreciated. But the majority of them are never going to become, you know, big tumors and cause problems, but probably more common than we all, you know, give credit to.
So these were not necessarily people who had died of any type of cancer. These were all causes.
Not that, correct.
I see. Can we talk a little bit about the subgroup of GIST patients who are SDH deficient? What percentage do they represent? How rare is this? And what is this? I understand that is your specialty.
Correct. So the SDH or succinate dehydrogenase deficient GIST, or SDH as we call them for short, basically these patients have a mutation in the genes that metabolize sugar or glucose. And so what happens is there's defective metabolism of glucose in these cells. And this ultimately, through a number of different steps and processes, leads to tumor formation. These SDH deficient GISTs often occur in younger people, but we also know that they can occur across the age spectrum. But we see these patients in their teens, 20s, 30s developing GIST, which is pretty unusual for the more common subtypes of GIST. It's believed that there's roughly about 7.5 to 10% of all GISTs are these SDH deficient. So we're talking roughly about 600 new cases per year, you know, around the U.S., for instance.
Just curiosity, is there any risk factors involved in developing GIST, or is this completely out of our control?
That's a great question that we don't know the answer to. The only risk factors across the board that we know about is that males are a little bit higher predilection than females, and that African Americans and Asian Pacific Islanders have a slightly higher incidence than Caucasians. Beyond that, we don't know of any foods, any toxins, any other risk factors that we can put our finger on that says that somebody's going to be at higher risk. You know, that being said, even in that those patient populations that are slightly higher risk, this is still a rare disease. So, you know, not something that somebody, for instance, would need to worry about per se in terms of their, you know, overall risk relative to the general population.
Because when we talk about more common types of gastrointestinal cancers, for example, obviously pancreatic cancer, cholangiocarcinoma, there are known factors, obesity, smoking, alcohol consumption, et cetera. Not at play here?
We don't have any of those here. The only risk factor that we could say is specifically to the SDH patients, and then another subset of GIST patients being those that have tumors associated with the neurofibromatosis type 1 gene, which is another rare type of GIST and a rare disease as well, is that those patients often carry mutations in the genes that are hereditary, so passed down from parent to child. But even if somebody has a mutation in one of the SDH genes, of which there's four, there's SDH A, B, C, and D, we don't know why some family members will go on to develop GIST and other family members will not.
Interesting. So BRCA, for example, the BRCA mutation is not involved in any way here, correct?
Not that we're aware of, no. There's never been an association between the BRCA1 or BRCA2 and GIST.
Tell us a little bit about your clinical trial using temozolomide as combination therapy to treat this condition.
So several years ago, we identified that temozolomide was an agent that basically damages the DNA in cells, and that in our laboratory, we identified that it was working to kill GIST cell lines that we had developed, and we were fortunate enough to be able to develop the first cell lines to be able to study these tumors in our laboratory. We went on to basically run a clinical trial, which we just completed, the trial of temozolomide as a single agent in patients with SDH deficient GIST. The final analyses are pending. It will be presented later on this year at the Clinical Congress of the Clinical Connective Tissue Oncology Society.
Oh, when is that?
The Connective Tissue Oncology Society meeting is in November in Dublin, Ireland.
And that's when you'll be presenting results of this particular study?
That's when we've submitted our work for presentation at that meeting.
I see.
And in the meantime, we're in the process of writing the manuscript for submission for peer review and publication. Based upon the work that we identified in our laboratory, we identified that temozolomide was inducing expression of a protein called DR5 or death receptor 5. And when this gets activated, the cells undergo what's called apoptosis, or programmed cell death. And so what we've identified is that the temozolomide, the first drug we've looked at, is inducing a new vulnerability that's then allowing the cells to be then targeted with the second drug called Inhibrx 109, which is a drug that activates this death receptor 5. And so we're now embarking on a clinical trial of a combination of temozolomide plus this Inhibrx 109 drug. The trial is now open across 15 sites in the United States. We're currently running the phase one portion of the trial, which is basically a dose-finding safety portion of the trial, and with plans to then perform the phase two trial, which will basically look for a safety and efficacy signal at that point in a larger cohort of patients.
And how many patients are involved?
So for the first portion, this is being run as a phase one trial. So generally, it's going to be somewhere between 6 to 9 patients in the way the trial design is, because there's only two dosing cohorts or two dosing groups for this patient population. Since we're using the same dose of temozolomide we've already previously used in the earlier study. For the larger trial, we plan to enroll 23 additional patients in the trial. What's also unique about the phase one part of the trial is that there are other diseases associated with the SCH genes, things like kidney cancers, as well as pheochromocytomas and paragangliomas, which are another type of rare tumor. So any type of SCH tumor is eligible for enrollment on the phase one portion of the trial.
And when do you expect results?
So far, the first patient has been treated. The second patient is in the process of enrollment. I would suspect probably over the next 6 to 9 months, the remaining patients will be enrolled, and we'll hopefully have at that point, you know, an understanding of the safety of this drug combination.
Wonderful. Any final thoughts on GIST Awareness Day and where the future is leading us in terms of therapies?
I think it's an exciting time, you know, in the GIST field. I think that we've for many years focused on the more common subtypes of GIST that are caused by mutations in genes like the KIT gene. Mm-hmm. And there's been lots of drugs and lots of successes that have been had over the years. And now we're really seeing this kind of quick evolution of treatments and additional studies for the SDH population and some of these rarer populations where until now we didn't have great drugs. Soon there's another trial that's just completing enrollment for another drug called Rogaratinib that targets another target within the SCH deficient GIST as well. And so hopefully, you know, in the coming year or two, we should have, you know, more options available for these patients, with the ultimate goal of even, you know, increasing that further and having, you know, more effective therapies for this patient population.
Wonderful. Dr. Siklik, thank you so much for talking with us today. This is Larry Luxner for Rare Disease Advisor.
Be sure to follow the latest news, perspectives, and clinical resources on rare diseases at rarediseaseadvisor.com. Thank you for listening.